Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat about God's never-ending faithfulness. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends. I'm very excited today as we're going to be discussing the 23rd Psalm, one of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word. There is no better chapter than the 23rd Psalm to sum up the best way to find grace in the wilderness. It's in the care of the Good Shepherd. Johnny, a 7-year-old boy, and his Sunday school classmates were told to go home and memorize the 23rd Psalm. The next Sunday, when it was his turn to recite the psalm, he simply stood up in front of the class and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that is all I need to know." Boy, won't that preach? In all of God's Word, there is no more loved chapter, nor one that is recited more than the 23rd Psalm. And of course, it's best read from the King James Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's start with a little background. This psalm was written by David. Some theologians believe it was written when he was a young shepherd boy, but others believe that it was written when he was a king or later in life. Spurgeon believes that it was while he was king because of the references also to a banquet, which he, as king, would have been accustomed to hosting. Who am I to argue with Charles Spurgeon? I'll lay the groundwork first by describing the traits of a sheep. Sheep are timid, easily panicked. Even a rabbit can make them scatter. Scared sheep go nuts. However, in the presence of a good shepherd, they're calm and reassured. When sheep get lost and are afraid, they're known to hunker down and cry and not try to return the way they came. They're often described as not the smartest of animals. If there's the smallest hole in a hedge, they're known to go through it. And it's not unheard of for them to head toward a cliff either. Boy, I think I could relate to these sheep. Sometimes trouble just really seems to find me no matter what I do. I love how this psalm begins. "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord, as in all caps, Lord. Yahweh, as in the Lord who is in the burning bush. In Exodus 3, starting with verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." The great I am is I am in the past, is I am in the present, and is I am in the future. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. What a great proclamation that David could claim. The Lord is my shepherd. He personally claimed the God of the universe. For Yahweh to be my shepherd, it means three things: a shepherd purchases, a shepherd provides, and a shepherd protects. The shepherd purchased me with the blood of Jesus. He provides for me every day, and he protects me no matter what dangers and enemies come along in my life. It is not my plans, but his presence that gives me peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I was a little girl, I used to think that meant, because the Lord is my shepherd, that I was wrong to want anything. But like most little girls, I wanted everything that I saw on TV and everything in the storefront windows. I later learned I will not be in want if only I will be His sheep. I became His sheep when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. No decision that I could ever make could ever compare with that. I sure hope you can say the same. Let's continue to break down this passage. In verse 2, it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Going back to that study of the sheep, the only way that they will rest is if they are free from fear, if they're not afraid of predators or any other dangers. They're free of flies or agitation. How many times have you lain awake at night agitated because of something someone said? Boy, I can't count the number of nights I've stayed awake because of this. To rest, sheep need to be free from friction in relationships. If other sheep are having some kind of conflict, then most likely all the sheep are awake. Then lastly, they're not going to rest if they don't have food. The loving shepherd takes care of all these needs for his sheep. The sheep can sleep because the shepherd never does. Psalm 121, 4 through 5 says, Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And those green pastures that we are supposed to lie down in, well, in the Hebrew, green means grassy. In this passage, in the Middle Eastern landscape, often it means grassy patches that are surrounded by brown areas. Sometimes there's only enough patches here and there for each of the sheep to be fed for one feeding. But with the shepherd close by and with his provision, the sheep can count on the shepherd finding them more to eat when the time comes. It's much like manna is only for today. The second part of verse 2 says, He leads me beside the still waters. Still waters run deep, and this teaches us the depth of His presence and His love. He does not lead us to the raging waves of turbulence and strife. He refreshes us with peaceful places for us to drink. He restoreth my soul. He mends us back together where we were meant to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. David describes God as a shepherd who leads his sheep on a journey through life, guarding them and guiding them in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for the glory of God. As I mentioned before, sheep are prone to wandering, but we know the good shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. And even though being called a sheep may seem demeaning, it can be used as a phrase of honor. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, was known as the Lamb of God, and He humbled Himself like a sheep as a sacrifice for our sins. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In verse 7, it says, He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. Any righteousness that's found in us is only because Jesus lives in our hearts. God's people are righteous when they are in a right relationship with Him, when they enjoy His salvation, when they follow the shepherd. Now we move on to verse 4 and to the last of the verses that refer to God as being shepherd in this psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Yea means yes. In this psalm of David's, it's an important little word. It reminds us that, yes, God is with us. First of all, this verse refers to walking through valleys. Valleys are between mountains, and if you keep walking through the valley, and with the shepherd's help and guidance, you can end up back on the mountain. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Let's talk about shadows. Two things have to happen for there to be a shadow. First of all, you have to have an obstacle, and then you have to have a light. God is the light. In 1 John 1:5, the Bible says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Death is an obstacle in this verse that can come near. It is only the shadow of death we walk through, because when Jesus rose, God removed the actual permanent death. The valley can be a peaceful place because God can provide that peace that passes all understanding. When my dad, my mom, and my son all passed away, there was truly a peace that passed all understanding that I never would have understood had I not experienced it myself. If you are his child, I'm confident that you have probably experienced this special place as well, a place of remarkable grace. It's comfort when comfort should make no sense. It's only God breathed. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Evil does exist, but God is stronger, and he is there protecting us. They say that about 96% of what we fear never comes to pass. I've always wondered who they are. They're not God, because with him, 100% of the time, we don't have to fear, because he's got it. The last part of verse 4 talks about the rod and the staff. The rod is used to protect against predators, and the staff guides us when we go astray, which can be quite often. He protects us from outsiders and from ourselves. A sheep can feel a nudge from a loving shepherd as he prods them with a rod and a staff, just to keep them safe, just to keep them on the straight and narrow, just to keep them moving forward through the scary times. There's no reason for fear as long as he walks with us. I think it's very interesting here that in verse 4, it changes tense. In verses 1, 2, and 3, David talks about he, as in the shepherd, as in God in third person. Then in verse 4, going through the valley of the shadow of death, David speaks directly to Yahweh and says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So his conversation changes from talking about God to talking to God. Then the switch in verse 5 to the king. It's interesting here that before we were talking about the analogy of a shepherd, which David could relate to, even though in this passage he portrayed himself as a sheep. Now we're switching to referring to God as a king and David as a guest, because he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In this verse, David is saying that God treats us as someone precious, someone worth celebrating. And God sure doesn't scrimp when he does something for us. So if he's prepared a table for us, it's something special. This verse has often confused me, because why would we want to sit and eat with our enemies? But the more I've researched it, the more I've come to understand, it means that we can sit at a table and we can feast in the presence of our Lord, even though our enemies are around about us. When David talked about enemies, he had some very real ones. There are more than a few men that wanted to kill him. King Saul was one of them. First, King Saul appointed David as leader over his armies, and then he grew jealous and angry because David was being so successful. Another enemy who wanted to kill him was his own son, Absalom. We may not have enemies who are trying to kill us, but we do have fears, anxieties, and temptations, and they are very real. Even in the midst of these adversities, he invites us to this table and wants us to feast in his presence. The real question is, do we believe that God can furnish a table in the wilderness? The children of Israel doubted that he could in Psalm 78, verse 19. What do you believe? Psalm 81:16 says, "But I would feed you with the finest wheat. I would satisfy you with wild honey from the rock." His grace flows from the hardest places, just like honey from the rock. A cultural custom of that time was to give honored guests oil for anointing their heads. It refers to that in verse 5. This cultural practice of anointing a guest's head with oil was mentioned in Luke 7 when Jesus was defending Mary. He told Simon in verse 46, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." My cup runneth over shows that God gives us more than we could even hold. God gives generously. God gives extravagantly. That's just like the blessings of God to give us blessings pressed down and running over. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Certainly, goodness and mercy will be in my life because I have the shepherd in my life. And like two angels, always watching our back all of the time, goodness and mercy will follow us all the way to heaven. And dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? Well, that's the very best part of this whole story. That's eternity, a place prepared for those of us who have claimed God as our shepherd and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He cares about your struggles and crises too. We can't do anything about them on our own but pray and keep our eyes on our shepherd. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Our Lord is teaching us all along the journey, and as we learn, instead of becoming more independent, we become more dependent on Him. Crazy how that works. We just need to let go and let God. Just look up and look around for the presence of the shepherd. He's right there. Try to calm yourself knowing that He is there, caring, guiding, and protecting you, even in the dark valleys, even through rocky terrain. He will provide your needs, restore your soul, guide you on your way, comfort you, and protect you from your enemies, lavish you with His goodness and mercy as long as you live, and then give you everlasting life with Him. All we have to do is be a sheep. Praise God for His mercy and goodness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Please like and subscribe to support the growth of the ministry and so you don't miss a single episode. Check out SharonHawkins.net for show notes or to contact me about speaking engagements or find out more information about how to support Grace in the Wilderness Ministries. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. See you here next week.